Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life, brought to you by Gamer Goo. My name is Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Monday, December 21st, 2020. And if you're like me, I know you're probably still reeling from the Mandalorian season finale. Oh my goodness. I mean, just the amount of conversations I've been having this weekend, the things I've been reading. Oh man, I still can't get over it, honestly, over just how perfect of a finale that episode was. It really was just fantastic. One of the best Star Wars things to come out in years. So, you know, I don't want to spoil anything right here, but if you haven't seen the finale, obviously do yourself a favor and go watch it. I mean, I've watched it now three times. I watched it early Friday morning, watched it a little bit later on in the afternoon, and then Saturday morning I actually got the chance to watch it with the family. And of course, you know, everybody was just kind of a buzz. It actually was kind of funny. In the last 15 minutes, my wife is like, when is the really big thing supposed to happen? And I was like, just watch. And, you know, by the end, I mean, she definitely, you know, understood why everybody was so stoked about that episode. But if you missed it, go check out Friday's episode. I kind of dove deep into my on-the-spot thoughts. And I do plan on doing a more deep dive into the season hopefully soon, and actually with a couple patrons too as well. I think we're going to get kind of a little group together and kind of dig just through the season and kind of what it means, and of course, you know, the finale and all that. So be on the lookout for that. A couple quick little housekeeping things as always. Don't forget, you can always email me, theenthuselife@gmail.com, or hit me up on Twitter at Mark Turk, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. Like I said on Friday, I would love to know your thoughts on the Mandalorian season finale, or heck, even on the season in general. So hit me up with that. I love to get your thoughts on all of that. But not a lot going on, guys. I mean, obviously, we got, you know, the holidays here coming up here this week. So definitely not going to have an episode out on Friday. We'll see on Thursday. I may or may not get one out. But I'll let you know Wednesday kind of what I've decided on that. So I'll just be on the lookout for that. But let's jump in here. I want to start with a game that I've been playing this weekend. And that's some Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. I ended up not picking this game up at launch, and heck, even actually still haven't picked up the game. They put out the new season for Warzone and kind of incorporated some of that Black Ops Cold War guns and things and the progression into Warzone, and they actually kind of reset everybody's progression in Warzone. If you remember, Warzone is the Battle Royale, like the free version of Call of Duty, where you can kind of get in there, and it still runs on the Modern Warfare engine. But Black Ops Cold War is the new game that's out this year. Well, right now, until December 24th, you can play the multiplayer for free for Black Ops Cold War. So if you were interested at all in checking it out, just go in there. You'll find it in the store. You got access through the 24th. The game is also on sale. I think, you know, they're kind of with the launch of the season one of Black Ops Cold War and kind of the integration of the weapons now into Warzone, they're putting it on sale and pushing it out there for free. So a couple things. One, in Warzone, they now have a new limited 45-man game mode, where you go in and you can actually respawn as long as one of your teammates are alive. So it's a 3v3, you're doing trios, and it's a blast. Like, I was having a lot of fun playing that, because just being able to respawn totally changes the game. Plus, it's a much smaller map, so it was, you're pretty much playing super aggressive, and people all over the map, so lots of gunfights. A lot of the weapons that are there, you're not really finding bad weapons, you're getting good weapons through pretty much every chest that you're opening, or just finding kind of littered on the ground. So that's a lot of fun. And it is a time mode. I think it was only going to be out till like probably the beginning of January. I think it was 20 days when it first launched, and we're already a couple days in. So I'd recommend check that out if you like, you know, Warzone. If you're a Warzone player, I mean, you're probably already playing it because it's a double XP, you know, all that, those bells and whistles that Call of Duty always does. But Black Ops Cold War, getting into that, I had a lot of fun this weekend playing that. And, you know, I think back to last year's Call of Duty with Modern Warfare and how they kind of slowed that game down a little bit. And you still get that gameplay in Warzone when you play it, kind of the little bit slower down Call of Duty that Modern Warfare is, where Black Ops really brings back the speed running on the PS5. And, you know, now having the ability to expand your field of view, there's a field of view slider now within there, which I think Warzone, they added that a little while ago, but it's in there with Black Ops Cold War. So I jacked that up, and man, you're like a jumping bean kind of bouncing all around those maps. And I know for some people, they don't like that. It's a little too fast, but for some reason, it just, the games felt or feels great. Like I was having so much fun playing. Took a match or two to kind of settle into it. But then, you know, at that point, then I was, you know, middle of the pack, if not towards the top, in a lot of the matches I was playing. Pretty much mainly rolling team deathmatch when I'm doing more of the bigger multiplayer modes. That is one thing, the free version that's out right now, kind of the trial, if you want to call it, does not have every single mode in it. There are a lot of modes available to you, though. So the maps are cool. You know, they're 80s. There's one map. It's like you're in this old mall. So it kind of reminds me of like the mall I was in, you know, when I was a kid. Has a little bit of verticality, which my mall back when I was a kid didn't have all that verticality. But it kind of reminds you of the like the Stranger Things map, you know, or map. Stranger Things mall that was in, what was that, the last season. And, you know, all the signs, the neon signs and all that stuff. It's a pretty neat aesthetic. Even just the soundtrack for it, I think is pretty neat, you know, kind of bringing that Cold War side of it. Now, the one game mode that I played the heck out of this weekend, and it kind of surprised me as I was settling into it and really like just, I had that feeling of just give me one more, is the gunfight mode. And that mode is a 2v2 mode. And they had this in Modern Warfare. I think it first appeared in Modern Warfare. And they brought it over to Cold War. And essentially what it is it's 2v2. And it's first team to six wins. Each round is, I want to say 2 minutes. That even almost seems a little long. It might even be like a minute and a half or a minute. And they always start you with random weapons. So it's always weapons you don't know. But they'll always give you two rounds with those weapons. So you'll get like a primary and a secondary. Secondary can be a shotgun, but a lot of times it's a pistol or a revolver. And then your first weapon will be maybe an AK, maybe an M16. Sometimes it is just a revolver. Sometimes it's two little pistols. And you just take sides on these tiny little maps, eliminating the other team. And guys, like, I don't know what it is. Like, usually those game modes stress me out. And, you know, Gamer Goo, thank you for sponsoring the show because you got me through many, many gunfight week matches this weekend, you know, being that antiperspirant on my hands because my hands are sweating like crazy playing this game mode, or would have been had I not had my Gamer Goo. What a fantastic game mode that is, because the matches are fast sometimes. I mean, sometimes if it comes down, I mean, I had many matches where it came down, it was 5-5. Next match wins, but so much fun. I had my son download it because him and I played a little bit of gunfight in Modern Warfare, and then we just for like an hour yesterday played gunfight on Cold War. And you know, he doesn't listen to this and he doesn't know, but we bought him Cold War for Christmas, and I think probably Thursday when this goes off sale or getting set to go off sale, I'm gonna be jumping in as well. And the cool thing was, he was on his Series S, I was playing on the PS5. And we were cross-playing, which was cool. And it worked great. So, I think I'm definitely going to be picking that up this week. Because we were just having so much fun just playing that. And it's cool now, too. Like, they integrated the games in together. So, now when you load into either Cold War or Modern Warfare, it brings you to a screen with both of them on it and Warzone in the middle. So, your Call of Duty experience is kind of there. And you can either go into, you know, the campaigns for either or the multiplayer for either one. Or just jump right into Warzone. So, you know, they're doing a good job for me. So far, I mean, Call of Duty, like I've said before, it's the game that I generally get every single year. I enjoy the multiplayer. You know, I'm never sticking with it for months on end or anything like that, but it's always just that fun experience that I have. And especially, like I said, this week, it's free. So if you have any interest at all or haven't played a Call of Duty in years, hell, jump in there and check out Black Ops Cold War because it's free. And like I said, the 2v2 gunfight mode is a lot of fun. But if you're jumping into that and haven't played Call of Duty in a while, be prepared because you're going to be having some sweaty matches. And like I said, Gamer Goo, man, I'll get you covered. Find that link down below. GamerGoo.com. You got to plug in that promo there. You know, just because it fits, man. Trust me, that game mode is a sweaty, intense mode, man. It is crazy. The other thing I've been playing here over the last couple weeks I haven't even mentioned on the show was I've been dipping back into Phantasy Star Online 2. They put out their latest update, episode 6, which is now almost catching up the game to the Japanese servers. The Japanese servers now, you can actually level to level 95, which here in the States we can only go up to 90, but we almost have every piece of content they put out. So it's kind of crazy, you know, in a matter of less than a year here in the States, we've gotten every single update that it took what, 9 years for the Japanese servers to get. So I think the Phantasy Star Online 2 fans here in the States are going to be a little bit bummed out when they, you know, start seeing this kind of the slow trickle of content, but maybe not. Because remember, PSO2 New Genesis, kind of the newer Phantasy Star Online 2, is going to be coming out next year. And we've had a couple streams now. We just had another stream the other day, and it looks fantastic. It's essentially going to be, you know, whole graphical overhaul, not only for that game, but they're actually doing an overhaul for PSO2 to kind of sync them up a little bit. Not really going too deep into the textures, but it is going to be running on a whole new engine, so the game just looks better with animations and all that. They even showed something that was kind of neat where you can switch between the games. Even though New Genesis is 1,000 years in the future of PSO2, you can go onto one of the ships, go over to kind of these, they're like elevators. It's kind of how you switch blocks, meaning like instances within the game. You can now go over there and switch just over to New Genesis. Because one of the cool things is your characters from PSO2 are carrying over to New Genesis. Now, one thing to note, though, is it's not bringing your all your abilities and things like that. Really, it's just going to kind of be your cosmetics. I think, you know, there's going to be a couple little perks for those who have leveled up characters in PSO2. But they want New Genesis to somewhat be a new experience. And because it's taking place in the future, it's not necessarily the same character. But if you want to take the character that's been on your journey through PSO2 to New Genesis, you can do that. Now, they haven't really gone into how the story, how that's going to make sense, how it's kind of the same character. And one of the neat things is kind of what they did tease of the story is we don't really know even what the characters themselves don't even really know why they're on this new planet and fighting this new enemy. So it's kind of, we'll see where it goes. I mean, I'm almost wondering, is it some sort of like afterlife for our PSO2 characters or what? I don't know. We're going to get a glimpse into that as we get into the story, obviously. But the cool thing is it is a massive open field where we're battling. So it's not like any of the Phantasy Star Online games where they were very much more instanced and almost like dungeon-like, even though, you know, you're in the forest, you're in the, you know, coral area, where, but it was still kind of like corridors you were going down if you look at the mini-map. This is much more of like a Xenoblade size map, or a, you know, think Breath of the Wild, where it's a huge map where you can just go anywhere and you're going to come across people, kind of like a typical MMO would be. And then on the map, there's what seemed to be almost like a Destiny-style public events, or at one point, they go over to this thing, and I forget what they called it, maybe a trunk or a chest or something like that, and it was a like an instanced dungeon. So there's going to be these dungeons that you can go into, of course, with friends. You can matchmake those. You can set passwords like you can in PSO2, like normal. And the one they went in was like this weird virtual reality kind of experience where it looked very digitized in that. The other neat thing they're doing as well is, you know, in PSO2, if you've played it before, you can always swap weapons. So, you know, you can have, like, depending on the class that you play, you may have a sword. And, like, right now I'm playing the hero class. So I have a massive, like, giant sword. But I also have twin machine guns. And I also have a talus. But I have to switch. And each of those weapons have their own skills and abilities tied to them. So every time I switch to one of them, basically my action bar changes for what my abilities are. Well, now, if you're playing, let's say, a class like a hero class, it has not been confirmed for the game, but let's say it is that class where I have the sword and the machine guns, I can make it where my X is a sword ability and my Y is a machine gun ability on that palette. And just on the fly, I don't need to switch weapons. I just hit X or Y and my character will just intuitively switch. So that totally opens up now so many different combos you're going to be able to do in the game. Because, of course, it is an action game, and that's part of the fun of Phantasy Star, is comboing and coming up with all these different, you know, methods to take out the enemies, you know, how your character works. And that now totally changes just the playstyle of Phantasy Star, where now you can do that, you know, just on the fly and not have to be switching weapons. I love that. So, so awesome. I can't wait. There's going to be a closed alpha coming up soon. Or it's a beta. I think it's going to be a closed beta. And then they're going to open it up more. I suppose it's just going to be in Japan right now. Eventually, it is going to roll out here in the States. It'll be in the Xbox consoles and on the PC. It will be on the PlayStation 5 in Japan. Same thing happened here in the States. It was on the PlayStation 4, but only in Japan. You know, again, I don't know the inner workings of that Xbox deal with that. You know, they've been kind of shady with that. Not shady, but just kind of, you know, quiet Microsoft and kind of how they're the ones bringing it here. So we'll see kind of how all that works out. It'll be running on Switch as well over in Japan. I don't know if that's going to be making the jump here to the States as well. Here in the States, it runs on the cloud. It's a cloud version of the game for the Switch. And actually, looking at the computer specs, the PC specs, it's beastly. Like, and that is subject to change. I mean, this could just be kind of right now, this version of the game, you know, kind of going into beta. All they put out were the specs for the beta. So hopefully they can tune some of that down, because it looks like I'm just going to be playing this thing on Xbox. You know, based on some of the RAM and that they were showing out there for this thing. It's like, I mean, I might have to buy a whole new PC to play this game, which I'm definitely not going to do. But you look at the game and you're like, why? Why is this game? Why are the specs? That's what everybody right now is a bit confused, why the specs are so much. But I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I'm going to switch gears over here to some video game news. And the saga of Cyberpunk 2077 continues, my friends. You know, we didn't talk about this the other day because it broke, I think, Thursday night. And, of course, Friday was Mando Friday. But I'm sure you saw the news. Cyberpunk was pulled off the Sony PlayStation Network. So you can no longer buy the digital version of Cyberpunk. And they're issuing refunds, which is unprecedented from what I can think of, especially on the Sony side of a game like that coming out. That high scale. I mean, I'm sure we can go in there and find some small little indie games that were busted or, you know, pulled for whatever various reasons. But kind of crazy. And you know, Microsoft has come out and said they're going to keep it up, but they have now put a warning when you go to buy the game, just saying, you know, this game, you may encounter bugs and, you know, whatever's on their thing. CD Projekt Red has committed themselves to continue, obviously, to support the game on the Sony platform. So none of that's going away. So if you have the game, you can continue to download it. You just can't purchase the game as of right now. They said they're going to reassess that, obviously, in the future. But actually, just breaking kind of this morning, and I think it was probably really yesterday, but this article I'm reading this morning, it looks like some of CD Projekt Red's own investors now are exploring the possibility of suing the developer for, quote, misrepresenting Cyberpunk 2077. And I think that ultimately is what's at the heart of all of this, is that misrepresentation. You know, I was trying to think back, like, and I saw a lot of people saying, like, gee, well, Fallout 76 wasn't even pulled off the storefront. And it's like, yeah, but Cyberpunk 76 had, what, two or three betas? And if you go back and watch any coverage of those betas, people were like, yeah, this game is pretty janky. It's got the Bethesda jank, seems a bit shallow and hollow. And the game came out and it was what it was, right? There was no purposeful deceit out there, if you want to say. And, you know, in this case, that almost seems like ultimately what happened. I mean, there was even reports over the weekend of the CD Projekt Red, you know, the developers themselves, like the smaller programmers and workers there at the studio. Basically, they had some big call with a bunch of the higher-ups and, like, questioning and saying, why were these decisions made? And rightfully so, because now, you know, these people, even though, you know, if your job was just to be an animator at the studio, you're going to be forever tied to this. Obviously, you know, they're setting themselves up for some sort of a redemption arc. So guys, get in there, you know, fix the game, get the game right in a playable version, and you're good to go. I don't want to say good to go, but at least, you know, get a little bit of that goodwill. You think of games like No Man's Sky and all that. But again, you know, I guess if anything, the closest would be a No Man's Sky, right? When you think back to how that game, years leading up to its launch, was represented, you know, and then ultimately what it ended up being. But as the game got closer, you know, from what I can remember, and that's why I didn't buy it, I remember thinking to myself, like, there's not a lot in this game. You know, they were allowing people to preview the game and put out articles and that. And that's what a lot of the things with No Man's Sky you were hearing, was that it was pretty bare bones and there wasn't a lot in there. That wasn't coming from the developer. That was coming from people from preview events and that. Where now here with Cyberpunk, we didn't get a lot of that. You know, sure, we had the reviews come out days before, but they were blocked from showing any footage from CD Projekt Red and had to show, you know, the B-roll. And, you know, anything you did get that was really kind of showing what potentially was in the game was coming from leakers and things like that. I don't know. It's a weird situation. You know, it's unprecedented, obviously, I think, in this industry to have so much backlash. And ultimately, I think a lot of it does come down from just the game being so high profile, right? So many people were just obsessing over this game and saying it was going to be the next best thing. And now suddenly it's, you know, just this another game to come out and be broken, right? It's just another one of those games, which is kind of wild. Actually, yesterday, I didn't get a chance to read it, but the New York Times even has an article. And it's just entitled, Cyberpunk was supposed to be the biggest video game of the year. What happened? You know, when you have something like the New York Times writing an article, It's crazy. I mean, you think about just the marketing budget that they put out there for this game, and now having to do so many refunds on it. It's crazy. I'll be honest. I thought over the weekend in my head, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should return my copy to Amazon, or even just go through the process to see what that involves. Like, just really just to be able to, it's kind of crazy to say this, but just kind of be able to talk about that experience, right? I mean, it's crazy, but I've decided I am going to keep it. Cause like I said, from what I played of the game, there is a game there that I want to play after checking it out, and the city is great. So, when that next gen version does come out, I'll definitely be jumping in and checking it out. You know, it makes me really wonder, like, I would almost want them just to hold off and take their time on that. Like, fix the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One version of the game. Like, make sure people can play that in a playable state. You know, and you almost wonder too, like, what would be considered that for players of the game? You know, it wasn't just the bugs and that bothered a lot of people. It was the misrepresentation that what they saw and what they didn't get, you know, and I understand, you know, there's a lot of argument out there of people saying, well, what did you expect? You're playing on a, you know, 7-8 year old console. Like, yeah, you weren't going to get what you see in those trailers, but 2 years ago they were shown something else, you know? And I still think, I mean, it's crazy. You think about it. There was an Xbox One, a base Xbox One limited edition Cyberpunk console that came out this year in June. How is this game running on that? Like, I don't even want to get into that. It is what it is, guys. But obviously the biggest video game story of the year. Just an incredible thing. And obviously, you know, makes you think, like, Microsoft's decision to make all games run on all the base platforms. Like, it's kind of a wake-up call, right? When you think about it. Like, what does that mean for Halo Infinite next year? Like, what is that going to look like on a base Xbox One? And I think now, at least if anything, is going to set the precedent. Like, you need to be honest with your consumers when they go to purchase these games to say, hey, you know, it's included with Game Pass, but here's what it looks like on an Xbox One, and here's what it looks like on a Series X. And you make the decision to purchase it or however you're going to play it. I think that's going to be something we're going to start to be seeing a lot here more often as we move forward. So, all right, well, let's wrap it up there, guys. That's going to do it for me today. Hopefully, you have a good rest of your day. Like I mentioned, GamerGoo earlier on the podcast, and trust me, if you're playing some Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, you're going to need some. So head on over to GamerGoo.com. You can check out all the information over there, all the different scents that they have, which beginning tomorrow, shipping tomorrow, will be the new Beach Breeze scent. So you can go over there and purchase it now. It's shipping out tomorrow. Like I've always said, GamerGoo is a great, inexpensive gift for that gamer in your life. You head over there, GamerGoo.com, use my promo code TEL, T-E-L, and save yourself 10% off your order today. And of course, don't forget, you can check me out on Twitter. Follow me over there at Mark Turk, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. And of course, email the show at theenthusedlife@gmail.com. So with that, everybody, have a great rest of your day. And until tomorrow, we'll catch you next time.